You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 26th, 2021. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. And on today's episode, it's one of my favorite Locked On Phillies traditions here in the year that I've been hosting it. I will say it's close to a semi-annual tradition. At this point, we do it from time to time, sometimes at the All-Star break, off-season. And here in October, as we're getting ready to start the World Series, and the Phillies had yet another season where they fell short of the postseason, and the team they fell short of is the Atlanta Braves. Who better to go to than our esteemed Locked On Phillies panel? And that is who I will introduce right now. When I introduce you, you know, just say your name, a little bit about yourself, if you remember what number appearance this is for you on Locked On Phillies, and introduce yourself to the people. So first, we will start with Anthony DeBundo. Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. It's my third time on Locked On Phillies. I predicted that the Phillies would make a second half surge. They did, and then that surge quickly died off. And then my second appearance was recapping the failures of said surge. Happy to be back for my first ever roundtable. And I write about baseball in a betting context, so always following the numbers.
Our next guest, of course, has been with us, a fan favorite guest, some call him, Aaron Strong. And Aaron, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You can find me on Twitter at Chief Anchor Buzz. And this is my third time on Locked On Phillies. And it's good to hear I'm a fan favorite. Love to hear that the fans enjoy. And I want to keep coming on. Glad to be here.
And for those who had the under on how long it would take for Aaron to plug his Twitter, please collect your money at window number two.
I'm actually more surprised he didn't plug his fantasy baseball championship.
That's coming later in the episode. We're going to hold off on that. Hold off. Hang on.
I would like to plug that at some point.
Okay, here we go. Our third guest, he, of course, has been on the podcast before. You know, I'm from PhilliesNation.com, Ty Daubert. Ty, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I believe this is my third time on, either third or fourth, since you have taken over as the host, Tim Kelly, previous host.
Never had you on, right?
Previous host. Never had me on, even though we work together at Phillies Nation. But I cover the Phillies minor league system for PhilliesNation.com. And Dan Wilson is my favorite Locked On Phillies co-host. Well, just regular host.
I got you. Well, I think many would agree with that. And our fourth, last but certainly not least, member of tonight's panel, Jason Canner. Others call him Jason's iPhone. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. So same thing as Ty. I actually don't know whether this is my third or fourth appearance. Quick question though: you called this a Locked On Phillies tradition. Have you been doing this long enough to call anything a tradition?
I think so. I think if it's happened a few times here within a year, I think it'd be a semi-annual tradition. That's certainly up for debate on tonight's roundtable. If you would like to pose that as a topic,
That might be in my closing statement.
So that's exactly how this is going to work. So Jason and some of the others you heard have been on the Locked On Phillies roundtables before. Some have not. But for those who need the rules refresher, and this is for our panelists here as well as the listeners, the way this is going to work is I will pose a question about the Phillies, about baseball, or about anything that I feel is relevant to the conversation here. Each member of the panel will get 2 minutes to respond to my question. We will vary up the order. So for instance, our first question, Anthony DeBundo is going to have the first opportunity to respond, and I will go in the order that they were introduced. But then in the next question, Aaron will start, and Aaron and DeBundo will be the last to answer, and so on. If someone feels the need to respond directly to something that someone said, or if their name is called out by one of the other panelists, they will have a minute rebuttal period. And again, if I feel the need to move on, I reserve the right to move the conversation along as I see fit. And before we begin here, do any of the panelists have any questions before I allow you to make your opening statements?
Not for me.
All right, we're going to take that as a no. So So again, that's how it's going to work. I will allow everyone to make opening statements, allow everyone to make closing statements. And then when this episode goes live, there, of course, will also be a poll on Locked On Phillies Twitter at @LO_Phillies to debate who here has won the Locked On Phillies roundtable. I actually don't believe we did that last time. That will be a new added feature to this time around in the 2021 Locked On Phillies roundtable. So without any further hesitation, I will allow you to all make your opening statements. Anthony DeBundo, you have 2 minutes on the clock.
My opening statement is going to be more of a rant. I'm looking not at Joe Girardi, who has been the subject of criticism of many on this podcast and many in the Philadelphia media for, you know, a reason the Phillies may not have succeeded. Some are pointing to Gabe Kapler's success out in San Francisco and suggesting that, oh, it was the manager that was the problem with Philadelphia this year. The problem with the Phillies is and always is higher up the food chain. John Middleton, I'm looking at you. It's time to spend some money. The Phillies have multiple holes in this lineup that need to be addressed. And without addressing them, the Phillies will continue to sit in mediocrity and waste the prime of one of the best baseball players of our generation. They cannot let Bryce Harper's MVP year go in vain. They need to back him up with more hitters this year. The Phillies rotation continues to be what I think one of the stronger points of the team. If Zach Eflin is healthy for next year, I think the Phillies will be fine in the rotation. I think the bullpen is always going to be up and down. People overreact to the bullpen. At the end of the day, it's about scoring runs. The Phillies did not score enough runs last year. The second half of the season, they were 18th in weighted runs created, despite having one of the greatest second halves in the history of the National League from Bryce Harper. And the supporting him is the number one priority this offseason, whether it means spending big on a shortstop, spending big on a center fielder, spending big on a left fielder, spending big on a third baseman. They don't have the farm system, so it's time to spend. John Middleton, Dave Dombrowski, they brought him in to be aggressive. Let's see some aggression.
All right. Thank you for that opening statement. And just a reminder, as DeBundo just exemplified there, you have up to 2 minutes to speak or up to 1 minute in your rebuttal. You are not, certainly not required to use all of those 2 minutes. Aaron Strongen, it is your turn to make an opening statement. You have up to 2 minutes.
As you know, I love to rant on this team, and I'd like to use this 2 minutes to rant about the team in general, about the front office of this team, and just about the team in general. So obviously, you had one of the greatest performances in National League history in the second half, and you still missed the playoffs to a team that is now playing in game one of the World Series tonight without their superstar generational player. He was out, still couldn't take advantage of it. Throughout this podcast, I'm probably going to be complaining about the managing and about the front office. I don't want to get too deep into it here because I'll probably rant enough about it later. And it's a good thing that the team has no farm system. So those are all things you love to see. And you love to also see that you have an owner that will spend no money and a GM that doesn't seem to have any idea what he's doing. Also, great trade deadline, everyone. That's what I'd like to say. Great trade deadline.
Thank you, Aaron. Ty Daubert, you have up to 2 minutes.
You know, what I'd like to address in this opening statement is we mentioned it a little bit here. Phillies, they have Dave Dombrowski leading the team now as their president of baseball operations. And I think if the Phillies are to find success in the near future, it's going to take a Dave Dombrowski-like performance, and he needs to operate like he has in the past. He's been known to be a big spender. He's been known to make blockbuster trades, and that's the kind of thing that they're going to need to do. That's not to discredit some of the things that he's done. It looked like last offseason, based on the way that the front office and ownership was speaking in press availabilities and reports that had come out, that it did not seem like they were going to bring back JT Realmuto at one point. It did not seem like they were going to have a payroll that was going to be anywhere near where it was in 2020. Dave Dombrowski came in and he changed that. He brought back JT Realmuto. He brought back Didi Gregorius. We can debate whether that was the right move. But if you think about it, just the mindset of being willing to spend a little bit of money and bring back those free agents, it put them in a position to the point where they were going to be in the mix. And then where it really tailed off, I think, was the trade deadline. Freeze Hoskins was banged up. They had some holes in other spaces. Zach Eflin ended up finishing the year on the injured list, when you look at teams like the Atlanta Braves, they didn't even make the blockbusters, but they were just willing to go out and get the players that were, that was required. And now they are in the World Series. The Phillies, they trade for Kyle Gibson, Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy, and they get a prospect back for Spencer Howard. But the real addition to the lineup is Freddie Galvis. They needed a little bit more, needed more of a blockbuster.
Thank you, Ty. And last, but again, certainly not least, Jason Canner, you have up to 2 minutes to make your opening statement.
Thank you, Dan. Throughout this, I think we're all going to be agreeing on things. I don't think any of us really love the direction this organization's going in. I don't think any of us love anything they did this year. But the main, I guess, emotion that comes to my mind is fear. Anthony mentioned it, Aaron mentioned it, Ty mentioned it, the lack of organizational depth, whether it's prospects, whether it's just having someone who can come up and fill in as an extra piece for a week. We see it occasionally where guys like Vierling play well for a week, Jankowski play well for a week, but we usually see a team see the Phillies having to rely on guys like Freddie Galvis, Travis Jankowski, Ronald Torres for much longer than any regular team does. We see teams like the Braves trade nothing for Eddie Rosario, trade nothing for Doc Peterson. We see organizational depth from them, other teams in the NL East. We never see any of that from the Phillies. And it's always the fear that because there's no depth in the form of prospects, that will never come. And again, it all sort of comes back to the stopwatch. How much longer of Bryce Harper's prime do you have? And it's the fear that that's going to be wasted. And is something different going to happen this offseason to instill any confidence that we haven't gotten in the past? Would that come from a shortstop? Would that come from anything? But it's more so fear. It's fear of wasting Bryce Harper's prime, and nothing that gives any sort of optimism that will not happen.
Thank you, Jason. And, more of the Locked On Phillies roundtable, I should say, coming right up here, and where we'll ask the opening questions to everyone. You just heard their opening statements. But first, I have to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. And I also have to tell you about Get Upside. Hey, Phillies fans, this is Dan Wilson with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much to $200 to $300 per month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back, it's added right to your bank account. You can cash out anytime you want. PayPal, an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's BASEBALL for 50 cents per gallon in cash back. All right, boys, here comes the first of many questions here on the Locked On Phillies Roundtable. We heard a number of things addressed in your opening remarks. And one specific thing that I heard from Jason Canner that I happen to agree with is that there's probably going to be a lot of agreement here on this podcast. I think in general, no one is happy with how this season ended. But one thing that we may not all agree with, or all Phillies fans or people who want what's best for this organization may agree with, is the best way to solve said issue. So with the offseason looming, and again, we're beginning the World Series here tonight, and free agency and, you know, the future of baseball still in question here, there are moves that can be made this offseason to help address this team. So I will ask you plain and simply, and we're going to start with Aaron here. What is the biggest need as you see it for this Phillies team this offseason? What is the number one thing, the biggest thing you would like Dave Dombrowski to do between now and opening day 2022? Aaron, you have 2 minutes.
You're starting with a very tough question, given the issues on this roster. I think the most important thing would just be adding an impact bat to the lineup. As shown last year, there was absolutely no one backing up Bryce Harper. Have Didi in there every day. Obviously, I think the best guy out there is Corey Seager, and I would love to have Corey Seager. I'm just not sure how realistic Corey Seager is, but I would be happy with any of the big name shortstops out there. I think they're all pretty good. I just would prefer Corey Seager.
Fair enough. All right, Ty, you have 2 minutes. What is the Phillies' biggest need this offseason, whether it's a type of player or a specific name you might have in mind? Ty, again, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little bit tough. The one biggest need, I think, is I don't think you can rely on Didi Gregorius to be your everyday shortstop. Just based on his performance this past year, was very bad on defense, was pretty bad on offense for most of the season. And I don't think that you can't go into next season with him being your number one option and your only option at shortstop. I don't know. There's a couple different ways you could figure that out. I think center field is also a place that they would benefit from improving. So whether that is you sign more of an all-star level kind of guy for center field or make a trade there and then fill in with just a regular at shortstop or whatever you do. But I think shortstop right now is the obvious hole.
Jason Canner, you have 2 minutes.
I think everyone's going to say a bat up the middle because that's the answer, whether it's a shortstop, center fielder, even a second baseman, because you do have the ability to move Gene Segura around. However, I think my answer would be not even one position, but just someone who overperforms whatever you pay them. We see the Phillies, and it's the reason why their poor depth gets exploited every year, because the guys who they sign, not to big deals, but maybe like an Archie Bradley or a Didi Gregorius, who's getting paid not the league minimum, but less than $20 million a year. It's rarely that those guys become assets and they're much more liabilities to you. And the only way that you're going to have a division contender, let alone the championship contender, with the poor organization situation the Phillies are currently in, is to hit on a lot of those signs. And even if they do sign Corey Seager, we saw when they added Zach Wheeler 2 years ago, that was a signing that went amazing. Still didn't get anything from anyone else. So it's even if you do get a Corey Seager or Carlos Correa, I don't think anyone's talking about Max Scherzer, but if you were to get someone like that, you would still need other contributions, bigger contributions from your mid-level signings than they've gotten, not even recently, but really just the entire decade.
Thank you, Jason Canner. And again, last but certainly not least, Anthony DeBundo, you have up to 2 minutes.
If we assume that the Phillies are not going to pick up the club option on Andrew McCutchen, which I'm hoping they do not, I'm not exactly sure what the situation will be there. They really have to fix two holes. The one is pretty easily filled by Kyle Schwarber at left field. Schwarber is a free agent at the end of the season. He would actually probably go for a similar amount of money as McCutchen, and I think you're getting a much better hitter at this stage of their respective careers. So that's the one person that I'm really looking forward to potentially targeting. And then it really depends on how much faith you have in Didi Gregorius to bounce back. If you look at his 2020 numbers, which are really good, it's not particularly, much to rely on a 60-game sample. So what do we know about 2019 and 2021, which are much bigger samples? They're not pretty. Both pretty bad at the plate, pretty bad in the field. So I'm not looking forward to having Didi Gregorius as a starting day, opening day shortstop. So you start looking around. Trevor Story had a bit of a down year this year, coming out of Coors. How do you feel about him? Probably would look to pass. Seager and Correa are going to cost a ton of money. I don't think they'll spend. I'd actually rather them address maybe center field or third base with a guy maybe like, say, Chris Bryant, if they were to make a big upgrade there. Because shortstop, they're still paying Gregorius, which has to factor into the decision, and you can't fix all your holes. So maybe Gregorius lasts one more year. I don't know what the best answer is, but it definitely is going to require more than one bat.
Thank you, Anthony. Follow-up question to a little bit of a follow-up question, a little bit of a new question for all of you. We're going to start with Ty this time. Is we've talked a lot about the organizational depth and the lack of organizational development. And Ty, you specifically are a minor league and a farm system guy and know that the impacts of baseball, perhaps unlike any other sport, you know, it can take time to build it back up, tear it back down, and that these problems the Phillies have had date back years and years and years. So I'm going to simply ask all of you to almost assess blame percentage wise and explain why between the following people: John Middleton, Matt Klintak, who no longer has his job, Dave Dombrowski, who took over mid offseason last season, Joe Girardi, who's the current manager of the team, as well as just flat out the players on the field underperforming. When you look and say, why are the Phillies are where they are? How much of it is the people currently in their jobs? How much of it is the people who stood before them creating a bad situation? Ty, I will send it over to you. You have up to 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's close to one of the most difficult questions you could really ask, because if there was one easy answer, they would just fix it. You know, it really stems from even when they were in the 2008 kind of era, when they were really good, they ended up behind the times compared to other teams in terms of scouting, player development, and analytics. I think a lot of that, you know, other teams made advances, and when the Phillies collapsed, they had to play catch up, and are in many ways are still trying to do so. I think that it's almost impossible to place blame on like a single person. It just seems that the organization as a whole just it had a lot of catching up to do, and they're still kind of doing it. And You can make up for some of these problems by throwing money at players. You don't have to operate like the Rays if you're not playing the Rays game. And they've been sort of a contender for the last few seasons because they've signed big name players like Bryce Harper and traded for JT Realmuto. And so it's either you're going to have to get better at the player development stuff, or you're going to have to double down on the spending. And with, you know, just how Major League Baseball owners tend to operate, I don't know if they'll be inclined to do the latter. So it's going to have to come down to the other things. I don't think you can blame Dave Dombrowski just because of how new he is, but it stems from the old front offices, the Ruben Amaros. It goes to Andy McPhail seemingly not having maybe as much of a role in guiding Matt Klintak as they built an analytics department. It goes in all of it, just a lot of playing catch up over the last few.
Thank you, Ty. Jason Kanner, you have 2 minutes to address the question.
Thank you. I, like Ty said, it's been like when you look at every single name you mentioned, there's significant blame, significant responsibility that comes into play with every single name there. And it's been like that for 10 years. And I think when you're looking at something like that with an organization that has had multiple regimes now running the team, multiple managers, I'm not sure, was it three or four since Kapler?
I think three or four.
Yeah. Or sorry, three or four since Charlie, my bad, including Kapler. Three or four managers since Charlie.
You've had Sandberg, McCannon, Kapler, now Girardi.
Yeah, so four. With that much turnover, you have to, at a certain point, you have to look at the person who is employing the decision makers. Because at a certain point, if something's not working, you have to fix it. And at a certain point, if you're the one that's continuously choosing these people that continuously make, or not, it's not just wrong decisions, but similarly wrong decisions. Like, it seems like the same problems have been plaguing the team for years. It's not new or different problems. The farm system depth was a problem, felt like, since Rollins Utley Howard came up. So I think the only name to fairly blame there is John, or every name is fair to blame, but I think the only name to fairly blame the most is John Middleton, because he brought all those in. And to the spending argument, Aaron said something in his opening statement, I think the not willing to spend at all. I think he's shown that he is willing to spend, but I also think he's shown he's very highly invested in his image, probably to a fault, where he's much more likely to spend if he knows people are going to like it. And you can't really operate a winning franchise if you're thinking like that.
Thank you, Jason Kanter. Anthony DeBundo, you have 2 minutes to answer the question.
Yeah, I think what Kanter hit on at the end there was pretty spot on. The guy who has been employing the decision makers at some point needs to face the responsibility and the repercussions of his actions. And he hasn't hired a good high-level executive, and probably, we'll see with Dombrowski, but he hasn't hired an effective high-level executive since I was, in my very young years. So, and even Ruben Amaro, in some ways, lucked into, some great talent coming through the pipeline when the Phillies had their glory years. And it's actually quite sad that, Phillies fans on Twitter have to relive things from 10 plus years ago, because it was the last time the Phillies were in the playoffs, when all these other franchises have come, have been to the playoffs or come close to it, closer than the Phillies have. So it starts at the top, as it always does. I would say the McPhail, whatever his role was, and the Klentak era was really the most, if you have to blame a single era, because they had so much leverage from the bad years to really build up a farm system and finally get the rebuild right. And it feels like Philadelphia is now in a spot where they have a lot of aging mid-level players who are paid more money than they probably should be. And they have no cheap young guys who are providing value for this franchise. And that botched rebuild, guys like Mickey Moniak, Adam Haseley has not produced anything. There's other names. Those kind of misses really add up. And that's where we're at now, where the Phillies have tried the first rebuild. They have failed it. And some are saying they need to do a second rebuild. I don't think that, but there's an argument and I see the point.
Aaron Strong, and last but not least, you have 2 minutes.
Well, this is a tough question because obviously all those names have had a negative impact on the team, but I would have to go all the way at the top with Middleton, as was said by a few other people preceding me. I just think that the hires he has made have obviously not been effective, and it's kind of just like in a repeating cycle of mediocrity, of trying to rebuild, of trying to develop prospects. But of course, another place to blame is just the regime of the mid 2010s, where they had multiple top 10, top five, even draft picks. And you've gotten no contribution from any of those young players. So that honestly comes back on Middleton. He hired the people to make those decisions. He trusted those people to make those decisions. And those people were clearly not qualified to make those decisions, as it's hard to have so many top 10, top 15 draft picks and have actually none of them pan out at a time like 5 to 6 years later. It's actually kind of amazing you can mess up so many draft picks in a short period of time. So in conclusion, I'd go with John Middleton.
Thank you, Aaron. More of the Locked on Phillies roundtable is coming right up, but first have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My personal favorite, definitely the cookies and cream. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can certainly get that mixed box where you'll get two of each of those 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy as well. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, all amazing flavors. They're all tasty, but they're all healthy as well. Go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order of Built Bars. One last time, built.com, LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. And this episode of the Locked on Phillies podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving the do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every kind of customer. They have everything you could need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even that new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. All right, next question for you guys here as we get into question number three on the Locked On Phillies roundtable. And this time, I believe we just started with Ty. And so that means we'll be starting with Cantor and be going in the order of Cantor, DeBundo, Aaron, Ty. Jason Cantor, the question that you will have the pleasure of beginning with here is, we just talked about kind of, you know, rehashing the old Phillies woes and what has led them to this point. Well, one guy who I would say is pretty widely the consensus National League MVP is Bryce Harper, was signed to quite a large contract, 13 years, $330 million. But the question that I'm now going to ask in hindsight, which is, you know, 3 years into this, it looks like he very well could be the MVP, if not one of, you know, the leaders in terms of votes for that MVP, but it ultimately didn't matter. So in terms of the production he has given the Phillies thus far and what you're projecting he will give over the next 10 years, as well as where this Phillies team is as a whole, in your opinion, was the Bryce Harper contract the correct move to make at the time? If you could undo it, would you do it now? And I'll throw another thing into that as well, which is the next biggest, most notable move I would say they have made is trading for JT Realmuto. So if you could address those two moves both out at the time and now in hindsight, and play a little bit revisionist history. Jason Cantor, you have 2 minutes.
I was going to just start by saying, obviously, that Bryce Harper signing was the right move. I believe, actually, either the last time we did this roundtable or just another time I was on, I said that that was the day he signed was when everything went downhill for the Phillies, which I think is true just based on the fact that I think it allowed Middleton to rest on his laurels and think he did everything he could and nothing he did would be wrong because he got Bryce Harper, which I still think is a major problem. But in terms of the actual baseball move of signing a 27 now, I believe, currently 27-year-old superstar to a contract through his entire prime, paying him like $25 million a year. It's a no-brainer. As for JT, I don't think trading for him was the right move.
For the record, Bryce Harper is currently, he just turned 29.
I thought he was 28. Okay. Goes by so quickly. As for JT, I don't think trading for him was the right move. It seemed like a move that was very oriented in trying to please Bryce Harper. We had this discussion last time. I don't even remember whether it was before or after they signed him, but I don't think it's really important. It was a move made to please Bryce Harper. And I think we see what happens in other sports sometimes when you give players too much say in personnel decisions. Bryce Harper, also very good friends with Matt Joyce. Believe he was also a big fan of Brandon Kinsler. So maybe just don't do that. But yeah, as for JT, it's the idea that it was a very aggressive move when they probably weren't totally ready to win. And you trade a very, very promising young pitcher. Signing him, different story. The contract might be a disaster in 3 years, but again, they've put themselves in a position where they have to spend.
Thank you, Jason. Anthony DeBundo, you have 2 minutes.
You know, despite his poor performance this year, I don't really think trading for JT was a bad move. Sixto Sanchez is a very promising young prospect, but we have seen very little from him at the major league level. We saw a brief stint in 2020. Where he was excellent before he's been seriously plagued by injuries for the last year and a half. And given his mechanics, he's going to consistently have injury issues, it appears. And so maybe in 5 to 10 years that will not pay off for the Phillies, but I think it's a good move. Now, that being said, JT Realmuto did not live up to his end of the bargain this season at the plate. People like to call him the best catcher in baseball. He was nowhere close to that this season. But I also think people can have unrealistic expectations put on Realmuto. I was one of his top critics. He still did have, I believe it was a 117 OPS plus, so he was not terrible, especially for a catcher. If he can just, you know, have a better season next year, which there's no reason to expect he can't have some improvements, I think he will be fine. I really don't think that move is the reason the Phillies are where they are. I also definitely don't think the Bryce Harper move is the reason where they are. They're a big market team. We have to start acting like it. And I understand Cantor's point about how that makes cover for Middleton. That probably bought him a year. But this fan base is not going to sit here and accept another summer of no big spending. So I'm expecting moves. The reality is that the longer the drought goes on, the fewer excuses Middleton has. And Bryce Harper's deal and Zach Wheeler's deal, while
20 seconds,
don't take this team quite far enough. And they need to keep pushing until they get there.
Aaron Strong, and you have 2 minutes. I know you have very opinionated thoughts on the Realmuto trade, and we'll probably want to respond to what Anthony DeBundo just had to say. So once again, the floor is yours.
Yes, I do, but I'll start with Bryce. I don't think signing Bryce, honestly, couldn't have gone any better just from his side of holding up the bargain of the deal. He's been great. He's the least of my concerns, even like the next 5 to 10 years, I'm not really too much concerned about potential production. He's proven that he might even be as good as the MVP season he had for the Nationals in like 2013, was it? 2014?
15, I think it was.
15?
2015, I believe, yes.
It was 15.
Well, and then when it comes to JT, I remember when that trade was made the day I saw it, I was not happy about it. I just think that the team thought they were way better than they were at the time. And that's maybe a trade you make this offseason, not two off seasons ago, when the team has a lot of issues and you're trading away a pitcher you could pay the league minimum to, who has a bright future, yes, has injury issues, but so does like almost every pitcher. So you just have to hope that he pitches enough to have an impact, but has a ton of talent and he's in the division now, and he's probably gonna have a pretty good impact on the Marlins next year, on their success, and the Phillies will get to watch him do that from
20 seconds. Division.
I just think that the Realmuto trade was just done two off seasons too soon. But obviously at the end of the day, he's a good player. Like, you can't be too upset. Hopefully he can bounce back from last season. That's pretty much it.
Thank you, Aaron. And Ty, you'll be the last one to have a chance to respond to this. You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, so the Bryce Harper deal, I think pretty clearly that was a good move that the Phillies did a few off seasons ago. It seemed like they really planned, everything they did was planned around signing one of the big free agents that off season. It ended up being one of Machado or Harper. They got Harper. The only thing that I guess you could complain about is they stretched that deal to 13 years instead of maybe 10, so they can bring down the average annual value. And maybe when Bryce Harper is 37, 38 years old, you're going to be like, maybe you could have just paid $30 million a year and he's you don't have him on this contract anymore. At the end of the day, you're not signing him to the contract for those years at all. You're doing it for right now and the next years to come, over the next few years. So yes, clearly a good move that the Phillies made. As for the JT Realmuto trade, I hear what everyone has said, especially with Aaron, around whether or not they were really ready. I think the plan was that they wanted to be good. And the way you do that is you go get good players. And they went and they got, at the time, he was the, you could argue about last year. Yeah, it was in ways it was disappointing comparative to his standards. But the way you become good is you get really good players, and the Phillies did that for what was basically kind of a fair deal. Sixto Sanchez is a good prospect, but you don't get good players if you don't give up something good. And I think what you have to criticize is the moves and lack of moves that they had around that roster. JT Realmuto wasn't the problem. You could question whether or not a catcher was the right position to go all in on. Maybe they needed someone who JT Realmuto is very good offensively comparative to the other catchers. Maybe they needed a bigger bat, but yeah, it was a good move.
Thank you, Ty. And we have much more to hash out here in the Locked On Phillies. We're actually going to leak over, or Locked On Phillies roundtable, I should say. We're going to leak over into a second episode. I want to remind you that betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.